In the radio studios, the technicians, the entertainers, the commentators, the administrative personnel daily unite their efforts in the creation of programs to please and entertain the vast radio public.
We awaken to it in the morning. We set our clocks by it. We dress according to the weather reports. We listen to radio for news, for entertainment. It keeps us informed every minute of every day. That's radio for you, close to every member of the family. From its very birth, radio has been a public servant. It will continue its dedicated service throughout the years to come.
You're tuned to CJ 99.1 FM, Windsor, Detroit. Listening to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Jane Awad is an IFBB pro figure competitor, and she's also a fitness model and the founder and owner of Train with Jane, a Windsor-based professional training studio. And I was also impressed to find she's taken on a new career path in movie production and here to talk to us about all these things. Please welcome Jane Awad to You Talking to Me. Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you. And let's talk a little bit about your career in fitness modeling, competing, and your workout studio before we move on to the film thing, which I have to say I'm pretty excited to talk about with you. Tell us about your personal training studio and maybe what your goals have been with the studio.
Yeah, sure, no problem. When I first opened Train with Jane, it was back in 2006, and I had been doing some personal training on my own. And as I started to build a clientele that were almost daily following me around the gym that I was at, it was almost getting too large to actually be training all these people because people were kind of hoarding around us at the gym mm-hmm. and wondering what's going on over there. So one of my friends introduced me to who is one of my very close friends now, and she's kind of a business developer and she's also a chartered accountant. So we met the one day and we're talking about what I was doing, and she really encouraged me to open a training studio. And that's kind of the roots of it all, is mm-hmm. kind of getting into my head and saying, open your own business and see if you can make this happen. So basically we worked on that, and it was almost a crash course of it. In 3 months' time, we had the facility up and running, and the center that we have is our original location. It's on Eugenie Street, 215 Eugenie Street. Mm-hmm. And it was basically a vacant office building for probably 6 or 7 years. Before that, it used to be the old Gold's Gym way, way, way back.
That was a Gold's there?
It was a Gold's wow. Gym. Then I think it turned into a dance studio and then some kind of IT place. And so when we took it over, it was all wires hanging everywhere. Oh. And it was just bad, all little compartments of little rooms, like if you would think of an office space. Mm-hmm. So basically, we had to take the whole thing apart and restructure and build, even though we just needed this blank open space. So that was kind of blood, sweat, and tears for 3 months trying to get this up and running.
Right.
And with a handful of people coming into the doors, you know, when we first opened, we had 8 people. And mm-hmm. we kind of chuckled because after about 7 o'clock in the morning, we were like, okay, so what do we do now for the rest of the day? So we worked on, you know, marketing and getting our name out there. We didn't have a ton of money to do that. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, it just kind of started to snowball. And it turned into kind of the training center to be at in Windsor. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of great, you know, trainers in the city, and there's a lot of great places to go. And obviously, when you go to a gym, there's obviously going to be people in there that know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But our little niche kind of just made its own.
Right.
Because we're not a gym. We're a personal training studio that mm-hmm. really focuses on getting people to the point where they're reaching the goals, because we've combined the fitness component with the nutrition component. So it's all encompassing. You're not just coming through the door and blindly going to the gym. So that's kind of our little niche, is that we're a real specialty place, almost like a little specialty boutique if you go for something that you really want. And the word kind of spread quickly for us. And we've got a lot of loyal people that still come to train with Jane, which is really nice to see. A lot of our people that have been there for almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to keep growing. And the goal is to keep providing people with a really great way of training, the techniques that we use. And our trainers that we have are excellent in the studio as well.
Now, your system that you use there, is that something that works for everybody? Or do you have to kind of, you know, change things up for certain individuals? Or does that work more with the nutrition part, or how?
Well, basically, I write the template for each day. So every workout that people do, they'll never see it again.
Okay.
And the way,
which
reason
is important.
Why, yeah, it's very important. It's muscle confusion. You don't want people doing the same routines over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates this element of creativity, and almost people wait to see what I'm going to put together. And the ongoing joke in there for 5 years is like, if a really hard workout is put together, they think that I was like really cranky and angry the day before, that I wanted to abuse them.
And they'll be glad not to
see
that one again.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they love it, and they look forward to that different routine and the change-ups and the challenges. But if someone comes through the door, and for example, we have a lot of people that are intimidated by big gyms, and they're not really sure what to do when they get in there. And typically, if someone has not worked out before, they'll go through the door of a big gym, they see all the equipment, and they kind of, they go find a treadmill, and they just walk on the treadmill, which, you know, cardio is great, but you could do that outside. Why are you paying for that?
Sure.
Or you can do it at home if you have a treadmill. So mm-hmm. the one thing we do is break down that barrier of having people feel intimidated. So when they walk through the door, it's 4,300 square feet, but it's a nice environment. It's not overwhelming. There's not a lot of people that are there each hour, because we do tend to keep the numbers between 8 and 12 per hour.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're coming in, you're getting all different levels. You're not just having super workout buff people walking around.
Right.
We have people that, you know, are 70 years old. We have people that are, you know, 60, 50, 40. I've got a couple teenagers that you know really want to get into working out. So we have all age levels and all fitness levels.
They're pretty much working together.
They're on all that working
certain
in small
day or whatever.
Groups. Yeah. So we focus on the group training aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I started that way is I've done a lot of personal training, and I've also been personal trained when I lived in New York City.
Right, okay.
And one of the things that kind of bothered me when I was working with a personal trainer was two things, actually. I don't need you to stand behind me
mm-hmm.
and watch me while I'm working out, which is kind of annoying for me. And I know how to count. So if you're standing behind me going 1, 2, 3, that's great. And most women really don't need a spot when they're doing something. They can typically be told how to perform the movement, how to do it, to make sure their form is correct. You can verbally walk people through it. So
mm-hmm.
it kind of lets people have their own space.
Yeah.
And it allows people to work at their own timing. And when you're working in these small groups, you're not working out with someone else or trying to keep up. You're
mm-hmm.
working at your own level. And we can modify movements if you cannot do something.
Right.
If you can't do a plank and suspension in the TRX, then we'll give it to you another way.
Mm-hmm.
If you have injuries to your knees, shoulders, back, arms, then we can modify the movement. So that's really important for people to know, that when we are training people, it's not just one workout and everyone
right.
has to do it. So that's nice for people to know that.
And what happens after a program? Is there some kind of maintenance plan that, you know, your clients can go on, or how does that work?
For nutrition or for training?
I guess maybe a little bit of both. Like, do you set them up with something that they can follow afterward, or is the training kind of an ongoing thing, or would they come?
Yeah, the training aspect of it, because we're so reasonable, we do unlimited training. So you pay for time versus paying for sessions. So if you're signing up for a year, you can come as often as you like. So
right,
you can come 6 days a week. We're open 6 days a week. Come every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do the classes on top of that. Some people like to add the cardio component in, so they'll
right.
come back for a boot camp, or they'll come back for a TRX class. But typically, we try to keep it so that it's very affordable for people, so it becomes lifestyle. It's not
right.
you purchase 10 personal training sessions, and then when they're done,
you go and try
and do it on your own. This is really a place where lifestyle is important for people. Mm-hmm. And the nutrition component, when we add that together, when you first start, we put a nutrition program together for you. So we educate people on what to eat, what not to eat. And so many people are out there, you know, there's confusion with the way food is marketed. There's confusion with, you know, food groups and packages that are saying low fat, no fat, fat free,
trans fats, or whatever. Yeah.
And also things like Atkins diets and, you know, all so kinds diets, of different new meal plans that people are so confused by. So we try to give them the education, and we can also recreate and give them new nutrition plans if need be. So it's we try to keep people under our umbrella and create lifestyle versus a quick fix.
Now, there's a lot of people that say as long as they work out, they can eat whatever they want, or... on the other side of the coin, I guess, would be people that say that as long as they eat well, they don't have to exercise. So
okay.
what do you kind of say to these people?
I would have to say that exercise is very important, but the nutrition component kind of sums up about 80% of it. Mm-hmm. So if you're working out, but you're not eating well, you're really not going to see any results.
Which is actually even worse than... the other way around,
yes.
I guess.
So yeah. If you're eating really well and then you incorporate some of the training into your day and exercise, you're really gonna see results. And the one part that I really truly believe in and that most facilities don't incorporate is my paradigm, and my belief is you put the workout together with the nutrition so people get optimal results. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go to a gym, and I'm not knocking the gym environment or trainers, but they're not giving them that 80% that they need, that nutritional element that's so key.
Right.
It's almost like giving someone a car and then saying, go figure out how to drive it. I have the keys. Mm-hmm. So they're not truly getting what they need.
Right.
And I think once people come through the door, they do the workouts, they see how relaxed but still welcoming our environment is, they love it. They fall in love with what we have to offer. And as I said earlier, our trainers are just so excellent with bringing people on board and getting people to feel comfortable with the routines, because they're very different from a typical gym routine. You're not going from one piece of equipment to another piece of equipment. You're actually using your own body weight. We do things where we're incorporating strength training, plyometric training, core training, and then athletic conditioning. So we're training people all around like they're fine-tuned athletes.
Right.
No matter how old they are, we just tone it down if we need to, or kick it up if we have to. And there are a lot of people that come to us that we do kick up the workouts even higher because they've got to a higher fitness level. So it's nice to see both throughout the doors, and everyone encourages each other.
And you don't just talk the talk, you walk the walk.
I work hard at that part, but it's a daily thing for me, and it's something that I've done my whole life.
But you've been in many pro competitions. Tell us what it means to be an IFBB pro and how you got into that.
Sure. Well, I started off years ago, and I've always been competitive, you know, played Division I basketball, you know, threw the javelin, played provincial volleyball, all kinds of sports, whatever sport was there and available.
Basketball scholarship, didn't you?
Yes,
and also the youngest player in was it the volleyball?
Yes, I played with the Ontario Summer Games team, and we won a silver medal. But I was 15 years old, and majority of the girls were 18 years old. So that was a really great experience for me.
Yeah.
But
that's great.
The background, how I started, because I came from such a competitive athletic background. As you get older, I know there's probably a lot of people that can relate to this if they played a university level sport. After you're done, you look for something else that's competitive that you can continue to do.
Sure.
And one of the things that I continued to do was work out. That was something that my father and my mother were always involved in, and it was in our household. So it was very, you know, a common thing for us that we all enjoyed. And so I guess I also got into a lot of fitness modeling. And when I moved to New York City, that was in 1999, I ended up... kind of stumbling into this up-and-coming area of fitness modeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up landing a modeling contract, and I was a spokesperson for the supplement company EAS.
They're big
the
company.
Big company. Yeah. They were the company that invented, it was Myoplex protein mm-hmm. shakes and protein bars.
Do you know
bars.
Bill Phillips?
Bill Phillips, exactly. So the Body for Life Challenge. So I end up being the spokesperson for this company under their fitness division, and I ended up at the Arnold Classic the 1 year, and I mm-hmm. definitely knew who Arnold was, but when I got to this event, I had absolutely no idea about the bodybuilding or fitness or figure at all. I was just kind of in shock.
Kind of fell into
around.
It pretty quickly. And
well, because of the fitness modeling.
Yeah.
So I end up in this booth, and I don't know if you really follow fitness competitions, but there was one top competitor. Her name was Stacy Hilton, and she was excellent. She was one of the top girls
she
that were
Paris
competing.
Hilton's, no, I guess not.
No. That was way before Paris Hilton's time. Yeah. So I ended up working with her in the booth. She was in the EAS booth, and I mm-hmm. asked her, how did you get involved in this? And, you know, after watching the competition, I was kind of, you know, in awe of these girls on stage that had muscles but still looked feminine and were still pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So she said her coach was over in aisle 200, and so I sure enough on my break marched over, introduced myself, and ended up getting ready for a competition. My very first competition was in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
Of June 2005. So I trained for this competition, and I end up coming, there was I think 13 or 14 girls in the competition, and I ended up coming in second.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, because figure was so new in Ontario, they gave everyone a bye to go to Canadian Nationals. So I thought, sure, I'll do it, something to do. So that was in July. So there were something like 32 girls in the competition, and mm-hmm. I ended up placing 11th.
Wow.
And I thought, that was it. That was good. I've done this. Told my coach, you know, this is good. Good experience. And he said, no, you got to do one more show. And
yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think that's enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, truthfully, I was really highly involved in the modeling world in New York and, you know, EAS and all the other moving parts that I had going on. So I wasn't really interested in it. So I thought I had my fill of it. And so somehow he talked me into doing this show called the North Americans, which
right.
is out down in Cleveland, mm-hmm. Ohio. So I end up, you know, training, continuing on training. So think about it, from June till September, I'm just doing these competitions as an amateur. And so I end up getting to the North Americans, thinking I'm just going in, getting experience, nothing. I had no thoughts of winning. There was nothing in my head that even thought this would continue on in my life.
Mm-hmm. But you did win that, didn't you?
I ended up winning the competition.
Yeah.
And they had five different height classes, and I won the overall, which then gave me my IFBB Pro card.
Okay, yeah.
As I'm standing with the trophy, I walk off, and everyone's happy for me, and it was so funny. And after I got off stage, my parents were there, and they were so proud. And, you know, my mom
Very
was
cool.
like, what does this mean now? And I
yeah.
said, I don't know.
You're professional.
Like, I really didn't know what it meant. So it kind of
yeah.
led to all the other parts that
sure.
Going to the Arnold and mm-hmm. the Olympia and all these other things that went on for the next 5 years.
Which,
of
by the
life.
Way, IFBB stands for International Federation of Bodybuilding.
Correct.
Which was started by Weider.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Weider brothers started
yeah.
that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were Canadian, actually.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woohoo, one
yes,
for the Canadians.
Go Canada.
Yeah, that's great. We're going to take a quick break, and I want to come back to talk to you a little bit about your fitness modeling career. I guess it's going to be a little brief, because we want to get into your what you're doing now as well. So
excellent.
We'll be back with Jane right after this.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home, where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home. And I love it. I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big J.D. on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big J.D., at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
We're back. I'm talking to Jane Awad, who is a professional fitness competitor, IFBB Pro professional. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your modeling career.
Sure.
What types of things have you done?
Mostly, when I moved to New York, my very first job that I ever booked was for a national ad campaign for one of those ventilators for people with asthma.
Okay.
And that was great because it was great pay. First job in New York City, I booked this job. So anything from national ad campaigns to covers of fitness models, covers of fitness magazines, editorials in magazines, being a spokesperson for EAS was very big for me. I also am a spokesperson for a nonprofit organization here based out of Windsor called Sportfest Windsor.
Okay.
And it's a nonprofit organization that promotes awareness for organ donor and tissue donations.
Wow.
So that's kind of also, you know, part of health is taking care of your body.
Right.
And making sure that people that don't have a healthy body can find, and by having people donate is very big and very important to us.
Mm-hmm. And you've written for quite a few magazines and things like that as
yes.
well, right?
Yes, I've done a lot of writing for different publications, and typically how that ends up happening is they want to know what you do in your workouts, what do you eat,
right.
And you know, sometimes you have your own ideas and you send things in to write. So I've done a lot of that, working alongside with different editors of various magazines. And, you know, you want to have a voice. You don't want to just be that person in the magazine with a picture. For me, anyway, I want to be able to get the message across to people about health and wellness. And, you know, all of that is really important to me.
And you kind of, I'm not sure where you are with it right now, but some type of a reality
Yeah.
A TV show that you would...
We filmed a small trailer on a reality show. I just had a conversation with one of the producers the other day. So we're still working on it. It is a long haul to get into television. And I think one of the reasons why I've shifted gears and gone over into the movie side of things is television is fickle. And, you know, a lot of people are pitching ideas. And reality TV is also very fickle. So for me... a message, a true message that comes from a movie, if the script is a beautiful script, you know, having the right directors and producers on board to get a message across
right.
to people, that's really where my passion is, and that's what I am doing now. I work with a company that's based out of New York and LA, and I'm actually one of the partners of the firm, Carrie Kimmel and Pollock, and that's what we do. We produce major motion pictures, and right now we've got about 27 or 30 different scripts that we have optioned or that we own, and it's quite exciting.
It's a lot of scripts to be looking at.
We do. We have a lot. I typically read a lot of scripts as well. We get a lot across our desk, and sometimes what we're looking for is maybe if the script isn't exactly how we want it to read, but there's something about the script of the story that is
sure that
a message.
Can be changed around, or you can bring writers in to,
exactly.
to do whatever you
so
need to.
So we've got a lot of those also that we're working on.
So is there? I read something about a capital fundraising part of this. Is that something
Definitely.
That you're...
We're always, you know, when you're in the film business, there's two parts of every film. There's, you know, the equity portion where people want to attach their money to our film. And then there's the debt portion, which comes from, you know, all kinds of different creative ways, tax credits and banking institutions. So we're constantly and always looking for people that have a passion for any of our scripts. We've got a number of them on our website if people want to view trailers or if people want to look at what we're doing.
What's
right
the website?
Now,
yeah.
www.kkandp.com. So okay. Spell out the word and. But we do definitely have a lot of pieces that if people have a passion for something that we've written or that we have the scripts, mm-hmm. that's how people get involved in productions, is not, you know, landing somewhere in Hollywood and going, how do I do this? It's it's finding someone that has a passion and connecting to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, they're based in New York.
New York, and we do have an office in L.A.
Okay, yeah. So are you commuting a lot around the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm traveling a lot.
From one end to the other?
I'm typically in L.A. For a week once a month, mm-hmm. and periodically in New York. This month, my partner Michael is coming up to Detroit, so we're in Detroit this month, so we've got a few meetings there, so it's quite exciting.
How did that transpire? What was the... How did you kind of get hooked up with KKNP?
Well, I was working with an equity funding group, and I happened to be at an event in New York City, mm-hmm. and happened to meet Michael Pollack, who is a producer, and we started talking about one of the scripts that I had under my umbrella, and it was the story of Einstein's life, and he's very, very interested in that script because I guess a personal attachment for him, he's a Columbia graduate. He graduated high school at 15. He started Columbia and graduated Columbia at 18. He has a law degree. He has his MBA. He's a little...
Sounds kind of
smart.
He was
a prodigy. Yeah, he was a very intelligent man. So mm-hmm. I think knowing that I was working on this Einstein script, there was that personal attachment of wanting to know more about Einstein. So this is how we connected. And Michael and I started to work together after that point, once we came together on that script. So it was kind of right place in the right time. And I believe that's what life's all about, being in the right place at the right time and putting yourself out there.
Sure.
Like I was saying to you earlier, if you mm-hmm. stay in your bedroom and just sit on your computer all day and wonder why things haven't happened for you, life happens when you go and get it. So
absolutely.
That's,
you have to make it happen.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Do you write it all, or is that something that you...
I don't personally write, but I do read a lot of scripts.
Yeah, you mentioned so.
Yes. So mostly my involvement is reading the scripts and then looking for all the parts that mm-hmm. go along with it. So the financial part, we work with the directors, with distribution. We work with the actual actors that we want to sign on to bring on to the scripts. So there's a lot of parts that are involved in a movie. It's not just, here's the script, on off we go.
Are there any plans to film anything here in Windsor?
Actually, yes.
Good
stuff. We're looking at a couple projects right now, and we're pretty excited about it. That's one of our meetings this week, is looking at potentially doing a major motion picture here in Windsor, which would be quite exciting.
Good stuff. Just want to quickly get in that you just recently got married. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And there's ties here to the University of Windsor because isn't he a professor here?
No. He's actually a chiropractor. His name is Dr. Matt Butler, but he's a graduate of University of Windsor.
Okay. For some reason, I thought he taught here, but...
Well, actually, his father did teach here.
Okay.
So his father was the head of the music department.
All
and
right.
Matt was a grad here from University of Windsor,
and
he was the Shield winner. He was mm-hmm. a swimmer here at the university.
Still a swimmer here.
Exactly.
But he was a champion swimmer.
Yes,
right?
And he still is, actually. He swims, and he's actually getting ready for 2012.
Was he competing?
Yes, he's competing
great.
In the World Games, so he's defending champion for the backstroke. So
that's awesome.
Yep, we're getting ready for it now.
So tell us where listeners can find Train with Jane on the web.
Website?
Yeah.
www.trainwjane.com. And we're located on Eugenie Street, 215 Eugenie Street, right across the street from Joseph Anthony's. Or they can call, 519-966-4747.
And give us the other address again, maybe the website of the film company.
www.kknp.com.
All right, Jane, I really appreciate it.